Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olalot, Chancellor here at North and Baptist Bible College. And we are continuing our conversation with the president of the college, Dr. Matt Olson. And we have been really in the middle of our extended series on getting our life in shape, talking specifically about the five covenants in Psalm 101 that David made as he began a new season of leadership for the Lord. And we've really been kind of looking at this in the context of fatherhood and husbandhood, but it applies to all areas of our life. And, Doc, you kind of walked us through the first two. I will worship in verse 1, and I will walk in my house, verse 2, personally and practically and powerfully before the Lord. And we're kind of in the middle of a discussion with Dr. Olson about certain areas of how to walk, and maybe you can recap a little bit of that for us.
We were talking particularly how a husband can walk as a spirit-filled leader for his wife. And Dr. Olson, why don't you've already covered the sacrificial part from Ephesians. Why don't you reiterate from Ephesians chapter 5 and then catch us up and then give us the last points on that?
Well, the great command for husbands is to love your wife and to take the initiative in that relationship. And we really see four characteristics of that love. One is that it is sacrificial, that as Christ loved the church, we ought to love our wives, and it ought to be defining of our love for our wives. The second is that it should be sanctifying. In verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that the role and responsibility that I have in loving my wife is to help nurture her spiritually. And at the end of the last broadcast, we talked a little bit about how that is a formidable challenge, because most of us as men feel inadequate. We may feel our wives are more spiritual than we are, and we feel like they're just doing fine. And so there are other needs, and we just neglect that role. And I don't think it means, you know, planting a pulpit in the middle of your living room and preaching a sermon every day. I think that there are many ways, I thought we could talk about it a little bit, many ways to encourage your wife spiritually, to help her
to grow. Take another step.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what would be some of the things? I'm a layman. I'm driving to work this morning, or I'm driving home from work this afternoon, and I'm listening to the broadcast, and it's resonating with me. I want to, maybe the Lord's convicting me. I need to shepherd my wife. But number one, I haven't really been growing. So I would think the first thing where it's got to start is with me.
Well, that's what I would say, is that one of the best things you could do is share with your wife what you've been learning in your quiet time, in your devotions. You're reading through a chapter of the Bible, and God takes a verse and just runs it through you, and is really teaching you something, then share that with her. It's not that you're a great authority on that text or that you've got it mastered, but you say, I read this the other day, it's really challenging me, it really helped me. And I think when you share that with her, you're opening up your life and she's seeing God at work in you, and that really is going to encourage her in her growth. The same way you can ask her what she's been reading, what she's been learning, how she's doing. And I think that's a great way. Or talking through problems, going to Scripture together. What does the Bible say? Walking that process through them, praying with her. You know, it doesn't need to be an elaborate prayer, but there's just little things here and there that can be an encouragement.
Doc, I've watched you use the daily bread pretty effectively.
Daily walk.
Oh, the daily walk.
Yes. Oh, we do daily bread sometimes too, but the walk through the Bible that we've used for many years, the daily walk from walk through the Bible for consistency. But what we've done lately, what we've been doing the last couple of years, is while I personally will keep a read-through plan, we have through the Bible in a year Bible that covers Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament. Mm-hmm. And we have a chair, a recliner in our bedroom with a lamp by it that is our spot for reading. We keep our reading there. We keep the same through the Bible and year Bible there on that stand. I will read early after I get up and feed the wood stove, come back in and do my morning reading. Sometimes I will read aloud to her if she is still laying down or not completely circulating yet. I will read aloud to her that, and anybody can do that. You don't have to be a theologian to read God's word aloud to your mate. Another thing we've done is when we've traveled, we have the Bible on CD, and we will listen through passages. And praying together is big. We've been lately, because one of our household will be leaving, we've been praying at night as a family. the three of us have been praying, mm-hmm. and we pray around. While she fell asleep early last night, John and I stayed on praying, and we prayed, you know, a long time. Well, those are rich times, and you don't have to be an expert theologian to simply talk to God about your needs mm-hmm. and your future, et cetera.
Let me ask maybe a kind of a tougher question, Matt, about, you know, the idea of shepherding your wife. What if there's an area in your wife that you've noticed is contrary to a biblical pattern or a weakness that she has? How do you help her without alienating her?
Well, I think you've got first committed to prayer. I mean, that's the first and ongoing principles to prayer, and to ask God for wisdom on how to approach it. And I think that as you are nurturing her, it's like, you know, you look at a bank, you know, you make deposit, you can afford to go make a withdrawal. But if you're not making deposits and you go and try to make a withdrawal, you can go bankrupt. And I think that's what a lot of guys do. And I think that the first thing I've got to examine my own life, maybe her struggle is a failure on my part to be the kind of husband I need to be. And I think that needs to be more what I addressed at the beginning. I think if I am taking care of what I need to do and what I need to be, and committing myself to that, to be a good husband, then I think God in the right time will open up that door for her heart. But my primary focus should be not on correcting her behavior, but being on what I need to be. And I mm-hmm. think that if when you can channel your energy there, it's a lot less frustrating because you can't change other people. I think we've all found that out. And yet we just churn a lot of times on trying to accomplish that.
Then when it goes to your sacrificial, you are sanctifying in that relationship. Thirdly,
a satisfying. Your love is satisfying. It says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. To be satisfying in the sense that you cherish your wife. It's one thing for me to say I love my wife, to feel that I love my wife, but for her to really sense that I do. Mm-hmm. Because it's like a teacher, you can say, well, I taught. Well, if the student didn't learn,
you didn't really teach.
So I can say I love my wife, but if she doesn't really sense that I love her, if I have not communicated that in an effective way, then I've really not accomplished that. And I think that a lot of times we do not cherish our wives, understand them, get to know them. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but and I think there's some helpful books out there. I mentioned His Needs, Her Needs by Harley, mm-hmm. and also Chapman has written Five Love Languages, which I think, you know, gives some help and insights on the way women may think or different personality types and what really will be an encouragement to them.
Yeah, and obviously there's things in those books that we wouldn't all agree with, but I do think your point that, you know, it does at least give us a grid. It does give us a place to jump off.
Or even sitting down and finding out about what she likes and what she doesn't like, what means a lot to her. Because not only are women different than men, but women are different than other women. And mm-hmm. sometimes we just, it's like with your children, each one of your children are different. You need to find out what makes your wife tick, what really encourages her, what nurtures her and helps her. And the cherishing of your wife and loving her so that she feels loved, mm-hmm. to me is a lot tougher than we think.
Mm-hmm. So you sacrifice for her, you shepherd her. You provide a satisfying relationship for her. And what's the final thing?
Would be a steadfast. Love is steadfast. You know what Christ said, or it was as mentioned in John 13, he loved them to the end. Love does not fail. It doesn't give up. It bears all things. Mm-hmm. And I think that the husband's responsibility is that no matter what happens, you know, it's the same way Christ has loved us. He doesn't quit loving us.
You know, it's interesting in marriage, and I'm sure that our wives would say the same thing, without being cutting to us, but you start off in marriage thinking, I'm going to love this person and it's going to be easy to love. But then 20 years into it, it is hard to love sometimes.
Yeah, I think we're hard to love and they're hard to love. But you know what? When you look at the example of Christ loving us, what can you say?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The most unlovely of people who are just completely permeated mm-hmm. by sin, that he loved us. And so it's a choice.
And he gave. He gave
he
himself
loved he
for
gave.
Us.
And so I think that it's not a conditional one. You look at steadfastness, it's not conditional. And our love for our wives should not be conditional. See, all these things, we go back, Doc, to what you were saying about what do we teach our children in the home, is when I love my wife like this, you know, that it is sacrificial, it is sanctifying, that it is satisfying, that it is steadfast. I like the word you, shepherding, or for sanctifying. But when I love her that way, I model for my kids how Christ has loved mm-hmm. his church, how mm-hmm. God has loved me. And then they start getting the right view of God. That it's not a perfect model, but it directionally, it is pointing them in that way. That's the way God loves.
No greater gift could we give to our children than to love their mother.
Oh, and I tell you what, they love it. You know, when you say, sorry, kids, we're going to be gone tonight. Where are you going? We're just the two of us. That doesn't make a kid feel insecure. That
no,
makes him feel
securing.
Very secure.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they see that they enjoy being together. You know?
Well, as we wrap up the broadcast today, I know, Doc, we've still got three more covenants mm-hmm. to do, and we'll do those in the preceding broadcasts that come. But let me just ask this question. I think some of our listeners might have. I mean, I've been listening to us talk and participating a little bit in it. And one question that I would have is, you know what? I'm not where you guys are talking. So how do I start? I mean, because this is overwhelming. I mean, I've got to sacrifice for my wife. I've got to shepherd my wife. I've got to provide a satisfying relationship for my wife. Can you kind of give me a jumping off point so that I can get going in a right direction? I mean, if I'm a listener saying, how do I start this? Where would you advise me to start?
You know, we go back to a good model. That's what Doc mentioned at the beginning of our discussion on these things, is that find a man in your church who you feel has got a hold of this, and let him be your prayer and accountability partner.
So, like just ask him or tell him?
I would go. I'd say, could you spend some time with me once a week, like before or after church, or meet with mm-hmm. me and just share with me how you've worked through these things and hold me accountable that I can grow?
That's good.
And I think it's the life-touching, life-discipleship model, mm-hmm. which I think is the biblical mm-hmm. model for all of the teaching in Scripture. And I think that really comes back full circle to how we began this discussion, is giving the right view of God through the mentoring, life-touching life process.
And I think a lot of times it's not do I have all of the expert tips, it's do I have the strong enough desire to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have to be highly educated if we're driven by a desire to make it happen. And then we get the tips. It's, to me, that is a big part. How badly do I want to do this? And it's there's nothing difficult about it. It's A, I spend time. When am I going to spend that time? How am I going to do this?
You know, about a year ago when we began doing some broadcasts together, Doc, in an earlier broadcast, you made reference to a question that you often asked Stephen or other members of your family. What is it that you don't like about me? And that may be a good way for people to start. What is it that would help you to grow? What am I doing, or what could I do that could help you to grow? And I know that we're out of time for the broadcast today. I hope that these broadcasts have been a blessing, and we'll look forward to getting back on the next broadcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you.